have seen enough people in church, Christians who come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They come to church wanting to experience God. They want, when they read about David, a man after God's own heart, there's something that draws them and says, I want that. But they look at it and they say, I don't know how to do this. And so maybe that's just impossible for me to have a close, intimate relationship with God. Maybe I'm just relegated to always being a distant relative of God's. Listen, the Lord has zero favorites. He has intimates. And if you want to be an intimate with God, you can be. But you probably need, like most of us need, help in understanding how can my heart be made like the Lord's. So we're going to get help today from David, a man after God's own heart.
He can heal every scar.
Have you lost your passion for God? Maybe you'd love to be on fire for Jesus, but you simply wallow in kind of a lukewarm motivation. Well, today's message is called The Making of a Heart, offering you hope today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Now, the message is from Jeff's series called Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. Open your Bible to Psalm chapter 8 now, and here's Pastor Jeff to begin teaching about the making of a heart, a godly heart. And by that, he means your heart.
Well, about 5 years ago, we moved from a house in the Houston area about 2 miles away to a bigger house in the Houston area. And we had wanted to get a bigger house, and the market was good. It was a good time to sell. So we got this other house. But the house we left, the kids liked it because there was a basketball goal at that house. And the new house didn't have a basketball goal. And so I promised Amy and Sarah that I would get a basketball goal. And I told them I would get a good one. And so I went to Target, and I was looking at different basketball goals you could get, you know, portable ones. And I got the most expensive one they had there. It was plexiglass backboard. It looked real sturdy. It was one of those that you could easily adjust the height of it. It was great. And I said, I'm going to get it. It looks so good in the store. But then you buy it. It comes in a box. And it's just this one big, huge box. Has those three dreaded words on the box. Some assembly required. The sum was really used loosely there. It was, I pulled it out of the box. They're like a million pieces. It was a lot of assembly required. And I'm not good at that, but I thought, you know, I've been playing basketball since I was in fifth grade. I mean, I know what a basketball goal looks like. I can put this thing together. And no lie, I'm not exaggerating. After 30 minutes, I'm on step two. Step one was pull it out of the box. I mean, I got that far. Step two, I couldn't do step two. 30 minutes. I'm getting a little frustrated. It wasn't going well. Finally, I decided, you know, this basketball goal, it really isn't worth me losing my salvation over. So I put it away, and I picked up the phone, and I called my buddy Skip. And I said, Skip, I got this basketball goal. I'm frustrated. I can't put it together. Can you help me? And within a short period of time, Skip came with his buddy Gary, and they came and they put the goal together for me. See, they had the same things I had. They had the materials, and they had the instruction booklet, but they knew how to do it, and I didn't know how to do it. And they could put it together, and I couldn't. Now listen, we are in a series called Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. And I want to talk today about how you go about becoming that kind of a person. Now, I have seen enough people in church, Christians who come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They're not folks that say, I don't want to have a heart after God. I don't want to be anything like God. I just come to church, but I don't want God to do anything in my life. Most people aren't like that. They come to church wanting to experience God. They want, when they read about David, a man after God's own heart, there's something that draws them and says, I want that. But they're like me with that basketball goal and those instructions. They look at it and they say, I don't know how to do this. And see, the materials, everyone has it. We have an inner person in there that can be a person after God's own heart. And we have the instruction booklet, the Word of God. But we put those two things together and we can't get past step two. We don't know what to do. And so sometimes, as one man told me, I guess I'm just relegated to the fact that I'll never be a person of peace and joy and love. Maybe that's just for certain David-type folks, but I'm not a David-type of guy. And so maybe that's just impossible for me to have a close, intimate relationship with God. Maybe I'm just relegated to always being a distant relative of God's. That's not what God wants for you. Listen, the Lord has zero favorites. He has intimates. Intimates. And if you want to be an intimate with God, you can be. But you probably need, like most of us need, help in understanding how can my heart be made like the Lord's. So we're going to get help today from David, a man after God's own heart. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8 is a great psalm to teach us how to make your heart like God's. David said this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed, you who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Then he says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You have made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's such a great psalm. And in this psalm, we learn how your heart can become like his. Three steps to having a heart like that. Three steps to the making of a heart. Hey, that basketball goal had about 40 steps. This just has three steps. Step number one, you want to have a heart like God's, you must take time for God. You have to take time for God. He says in verse 3, when I consider. When I consider. He's a shepherd. He's looking up into the sky, and he's considering God. Now, that word consider doesn't mean just a passing glance. It means a prolonged gaze. It means to see and to ponder and to question and to observe and gaze. He was taking time with God and taking time for God. Now, David had an interesting job as a shepherd. See, a shepherd is a babysitter of sheep. Now, he does more than that. He leads the sheep, he feeds the sheep, he protects the sheep. But there's a lot of time as a shepherd just hanging out with the sheep. And you're there in the morning and you're there at night with the sheep. And so David would take his guitar, his stringed instrument, and he would string and he would play and he would sing songs to God and he would worship God and he would look into the face of God as he stared up into the sky. And he took time with the Lord. And if you're going to grow close to God and be an intimate, you have to spend time with him. There is no shortcut for time. But now, it's not just any old time with God. There's a certain kind of time God wants. See, God wants unhurried time with you. Unhurried time. That's the time David spent with God. David was just in the Lord's presence, and he didn't have his watch on, and he wasn't thinking, well, you know, God, I got 5 minutes now. I got 5 minutes in between messing with the sheep, and Lord, speak, because your servant is listening, but hurry up, because God, I have to be somewhere in 5 minutes. See, that kind of time with God, that's what a lot of us fall into. We have that kind of time with God, but that kind of time is not really good.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And you know, maybe you've gotten into the habit of just rushing through your prayer time or your Bible study time with the Lord. Well, in order to be close to God, you've got to slow down. God wants us to have quality time with Him and not rush or give Him leftover time. Pastor Jeff will have more on just how to do that in just a moment with a message called The Making of a Heart. You know, perhaps your problem of getting close to God is not that you're busy and you think you don't have the time for Him, but in fact, you're going through some incredible trials right now that consume your time, your thoughts, your emotions. Well, now is the time for you to double down on your surrender to Him to help you through. Pastor Jeff has written a powerful booklet that'll help. It's called Sticks and Stones, What to Do When the Going Gets Tough. And we'd like you to have a copy of it as our thanks for your support this month of any amount to From His Heart. We think your trials will be put into perspective, and you'll be able to draw closer to Him. To get your copy of Sticks and Stones, you can make your gift when you call 1-800-985-1530, 1-800-985-1530, or you can go online to fromhisheart.org. Again, the booklet's called Sticks and Stones, What to Do When the Going Gets Tough. Now let's return to the second half of today's message called The Making of a Heart from Jeff's series, Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart.
You know, when Debbie and I began to date in May of 1985, we spent time together. And that's how I fell in love with her and she fell in love with me, is because we spent time together. And it wasn't hurried time. It wasn't just saying, hey, Debbie, you know, I got 10 minutes. And so let's just have a 10-minute date because that's all the time I got for you. And so I come to her apartment. I knock on the door. She answers the door. We sit down, and I'm looking at my watch. And okay, go. 10 minutes. All right. Then I got to go. That wouldn't have worked. We wouldn't have gone on date two had I done that. But when I went out with Debbie, I mean, it was throw the watch away. It was just, I just want to be with you. And when I did look at a clock, it wouldn't be like, man, we've spent 10 minutes together. It would be like, wow, it's already midnight. Where did all the time go? It seems like I just got here and the time just flew. It was unhurried time. You have to have that kind of time with God. I have appointments that I'll make with people during the week. And there's only so much time, and there are so many people that may want to see me during that week. So it'll be like, well, I got 15 minutes I can spend with you. Or I got 30 minutes I can spend with you. And then my secretary will come on after 30 minutes and says, Jeff, your next appointment is here. And so that person knows, hey, we can't just shoot the breeze for a long period of time because I have other things that I have to take care of. And I'll do that during the day. But this Friday night, Debbie and I went out with a couple, John and Kathy Tidwell. We went out to dinner, and they took us out to dinner. It was so nice. Dinner tastes so much better when you don't pay for it. It's just so nice. But we weren't looking at our watch the whole time with John and Kathy. Why? Because they're good friends. And we were just talking. We were just sharing. It was unhurried time. You need that kind of time with God. You say, well, Jeff, time out. I got a problem. I'm not a shepherd. I don't have just a bunch of dead time like David did, where I can just do that. You need to make time for God. You need to make time. I got an invitation in the mail in the middle of November. It was an invitation to go to the governor's mansion in Austin and spend time with Governor Perry. And I looked at that and I thought, I don't have time for that. It's on December 5th, a Friday. I was like, I don't have time for that. We got a lot of things going on, and how am I going to get to Austin? That's a long way away from here. And I started thinking about it. When's the last time I got an invitation from Governor Perry to go to his house? Never. And that's kind of a big deal when the governor invites you to his house. And I didn't know how many people were going to be there. I didn't know if I was one of 500. But I said, I'm going to go. I don't have the time to go. I'm going to make time to go. And Debbie and I went, and there were about 40 people there. That's it. We got to hang out with Governor Perry. He's the nicest guy. And we just got to spend time with him and shoot the breeze with him. And he took an hour and a half out of his busy schedule to spend time with Debbie and me and 38 other people. And it was wonderful. It was worth me carving out that time. Listen, you can always make time for the things that you think are important. Always. So God wants unhurried time with you. And number two, God wants undistracted time with you. Undistracted time. Now, it's not enough just to log in hours with God if you're always distracted. I remember going to lunch with a friend of mine, and we went out. I picked him up at his house, and we went out to eat. And he apologized to me later, but he was so preoccupied with some things on his plate that all during our lunch, I was talking to him about this and that and the other, and his mind was a million miles away. And even one time in the conversation, he just stopped and he said, "I'm sorry, what were you saying?" I was like, "Wow, what's up with this?" But he had some things come into his life and it wasn't a good time for him to go out to lunch. He didn't want to break the appointment, but he was so distracted. And you know, I see that when people spend time with God, they're so distracted and they think that God doesn't know. You know, we sometimes come to the Lord and we think the Lord is just kind of slow on the draw. You know, like he's just not all there with it. I mean, you can pull the wool over God's eyes real easy. I don't know how foolish we can be. God is not like that. God sees down into your heart. He knows. And when you're just mailing in your time with him, I mean, you get up in the morning and you say, "Lord, I'm going to have a quiet time." And you read and your mind is a million miles away. You're thinking about the kids. You're thinking about your business. You're thinking about this meeting that you have. And you're just kind of reading through, your mind's going over words. You have absolutely zero retention. You're a million miles away. You pray, but it's just a check the box prayer. It's "Lord, I pray for my kids and I pray for my spouse and I pray for my business and I pray for this and I pray." And then you just say it. "Well, I said all those things." And see, we get into that. We teach our kids that. "Now don't go to bed until you say your prayers." What good is that, saying your prayers? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And we teach our kids how to pray that. Don't teach your kids how to pray that. Really, when you think about it, it's a scary prayer anyway. "If I should die before I wake," I mean, here's a kid, he's six. He's thinking, "Man, I thought I was in good health. I might die tonight." But it's just canned. God doesn't want to hear canned stuff from you. And see, prayer is a conversation with God. That's what it is. You're talking to God. So you can't say prayers. That's like me saying, "Now you sit down with me and let's say a conversation." You say a conversation. You converse in a conversation. And you don't say prayers, you pray prayers. And if you're going to spend time with God, it has to be unhurried, take off my watch time. And it has to be undistracted time where, "Lord, I really focused on you. And Lord, I let down my mask and I let you see what I'm really like. And I let you see what I'm struggling with." Talked to a brother just the other day and he was saying, "You know, I'm not very close to the Lord and I just feel so distant from God and there's no joy and there's no peace." And he said, "And I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying." And as we talked more, he finally admitted, he said, "But you know, my prayers are just mail-ins. It's just canned. It's just reading through a list." I said, "Well, that doesn't count with God." Look what the scripture says in Isaiah 29. It says, "The Lord said, 'These people show respect to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship for me is worth nothing.'" Why? Because they're distracted, they're unengaged, their heart is so far away, and they're just mouthing words, they're just saying prayers and letting their eyes roll across scripture, but they're not absorbing anything. God doesn't want that. He wants unhurried, undistracted time when I consider, David said. But not only do you have to spend time with God, step number two, you must consider his greatness. What do I do in my time with God? You consider his greatness. I love the way this psalm starts and the way this psalm ends. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord." Now, if you have a Bible like mine, New American Standard, you'll notice that the first "Lord" is all in caps, L-O-R-D, all in caps. And it's "O Lord," all in caps, "our Lord," and "Lord" is not all in caps, just capital L and then small case O-R-D. And so we look at that in English and we say, why did he repeat "Lord, our Lord"? In Hebrew, he didn't repeat it. He said this in Hebrew, "O Yahweh, our Adonai." Yahweh is the personal name of God. Just four letters, YHWH. In the Greek, they call those four letters the Tetragrammaton. Just four letters. It's the name that God gave to his people. That's my personal name. That's my covenant name, Yahweh. Adonai means supreme sovereign, means master and ruler. Now, the Jews didn't like to use and pronounce the word Yahweh. YHWH, they would get, when they, the scribes would write, when they'd come across the name Yahweh, they'd get a new pen just to write the name Yahweh. It was so special and so precious to them. And the scribes and the rabbis would say, listen, when you're reading the scripture and you come across the name YHWH, don't pronounce it. Don't pronounce it. Just say Adonai. Just say Adonai, because the name of God is so awesome and so special. And they also knew Leviticus 24:16 that says, anyone who blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall be put to death. And they didn't want to come anywhere near blaspheming the name, so they'd just say Adonai. But see, David is writing here and he's saying that Yahweh is my master, he's my sovereign, he's my supreme ruler, and his name is majestic. That word majestic means excellent. It means powerful. It means glorious and splendid. Oh, that's God's name. And God's name reflects God's character. And God's character is so awesome. Chris Tomlin wrote that song, How Great Is Our God? He is so great. Far greater than your mind can comprehend. That is our God. Hey, when David was looking up into the sky, he said, when I consider your heavens, Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Wow. He had his head upon a stone for a pillow and just looking up into the night sky, and he was blown away at the greatness and the majesty of God.
It's so worth the effort to take time and consider the greatness, the majesty, and glory of Almighty God. This is a central ingredient in the recipe for a godly heart, but it takes a person with a teachable spirit. Do you have a teachable heart that is open to God's direction? Well, the message today is called The Making of a Heart, and we'll have part two for you next time. We're also airing this entire series to finish out the rest of this month, and there are six messages in the series entitled Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. And in it, you're going to learn things that God looks for in the hearts of his followers and how you can allow him to change your heart in ways that you never imagined. Life can be much more than it is now for you with a heart toward God. For more information, go to fromhisheart.org, or you can call 1-800-985-1530 and find out about the series Heartbeat. Again, that's 1-800-985-1530. It's available in CD, MP3, and transcript formats. The same is true for today's single message called The Making of a Heart. Go online to fromhisheart.org. Well, thank you for being with us today as Pastor Jeff addresses some difficult issues that we all face in life. In fact, on our website, we have a special section called Real Answers, where you can hear candid and empowering video answers to many difficult questions that people ask all the time from Pastor Jeff. Look for the Real Answers link on the website at fromhisheart.org. And when you're there, be sure to sign up for Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. We think it'll be a blessing to you. Time is gone for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be here next time for part two of this lesson called The Making of a Heart.
What do you think that God thinks when your name is mentioned? Good thoughts or negative thoughts? I think a lot of people think this. Well, when God thinks of me, he thinks, what a disappointment. What a discouragement that guy is. How frustrated I am with this one. How disgusted I am with that one. That's the way people think.
That's Monday, right here on From His Heart.
There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope.
This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.